How has God called us to worship Him? Today, Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons reveal an avenue of praise and worship through music and song that will draw us into God's presence. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Friday's edition of The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and it has been my pleasure to be with you all this week. And we're going into next week, too. Got some great things coming up, but today, I am so excited. Let me say, first of all, how thankful I am to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for allowing me to be a part of this ministry and this broadcast with them and with you. I'm thrilled to be in your home or your office or wherever you find the time to watch this broadcast. I am excited to be a part of these things with you. Now, I've been telling you all week that I had a surprise coming, and then I may have let it slip yesterday that today I am joined by my wife, Sarah Pearsons. I am so glad that she's here today. And Sarah, I'm excited about these broadcasts. I'm excited about what's in you. You know, the Lord, a couple of years ago, it's only been when you and I got married, but the Lord really started some cool things, and we've been on a joyride together since then. And one of the things that's so outstanding in your life, to me, the thing that I see in you, is that you are through and through a worshiper. And so I think it would be good to take some time today and have you talk to us about what it means to be a worshiper. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, I want to start where we began on Monday in these broadcasts. We started in John chapter 4, and we were looking in the life and the ministry of Jesus in a very kind of peculiar conversation that he had with this woman who we call the woman at the well. And let's pick up. We've studied a lot this week, but I want to pick up in verse 20, where she said to him, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." Now, you and I have been talking about these things for a long time, but more specifically, what the Lord's been showing you over the last several months, really last several years, but specifically over these last several days and weeks. What's been on your heart as you worship the Lord, as you're a worshiper, you're a songwriter and a singer, you lead people into worship, and you have kind of what I call a front row view to these things. When you read this and you see this in the life and ministry of Jesus, what comes to your heart, and what do we as worshipers need to know that will enhance and improve our experience of times in the presence of God?
Well, I think there's some crucial things that the Lord is showing us in this passage, but I want to look at verse 20 and start there.
Okay.
The Samaritan woman, she is talking about location,
right,
and she's talking about rules and regulations. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So she's talking about an earthly way of worship. She's talking about physical, when she's referring to how the Samaritans worshipped and how the Jews are worshiping, she has this knowledge that she's always heard about, or she's known about worship, what she's seen in her fathers, how they've worshipped, or what she's seen in Jewish worship. And so I think it's important to look at these two different types of worship, what she's talking about, what she's referring to.
Okay.
You know, the Samaritans, they base their belief system and their worship on the first five books of the Old Testament.
Okay.
They did have animal sacrifice like the Jews did, and they accepted those first five books of the Old Testament as truth and revelation, but that's all they really accepted, with some other influences mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they accepted those first five books, and they had that understanding of God's word. And really, what do we know as the first five books?
The law. Yeah.
And so So this is how the Samaritans worship,
the rules of worship. Mm-hmm. Do it like this, don't do it like that. Yeah, so that's what she's
And then she's also referring to the Jews here, and what she knows about the Jews, and she's talking about really tabernacle worship.
Okay.
When Moses, God gave Moses the law and how he should, he actually gave him the proper procedure and protocol of how to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the way in which they did that in the Old Testament was they came into a tabernacle and they built this tabernacle based on certain measurements and requirements that the Lord had given Moses. They had the outer courts, and then they moved into the inner courts. And then finally, if you were the high priest, you were able to go into the inner courts or the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm. where God's Spirit actually dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And so what we see here is the Old Testament form of worship was about location. They had to be in a certain place. And it was, since they at that time did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, it was based on natural things, on earthly things. Even in Hebrews, it talks about how the tabernacle form of worship was a shadow of things that mm-hmm. are to come. And when Jesus came, that was he was going to provide the new and living way for us to worship.
Yeah.
So really what's happening here is she's basing this purely on location. She's basing it on her soulish way of thinking about worship.
Yeah.
She's she doesn't have a full revelation of Jesus. Now the
obviously,
Jews...
Obviously, I mean, she's talking to him and has no idea who she's talking to.
No, she has no clue.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. Jesus is just now coming. He's making himself known to his people. And really, she has this limited revelation. The Samaritans had a very limited revelation of God. The Jews had more revelation. You know, they based their beliefs on... the 39 books of the Old Testament, they had more revelation, but they still didn't have the revelation of Jesus like we have it today.
Sure.
And so she's basing this on a soulish way of worshiping or a location, and Jesus comes to shake everything up.
Right.
And Jesus always comes in and he changes the rules and
always,
he changes our ways of thinking and he makes everything better. He's going to establish this new way. So Jesus comes to her and he says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain," so worship won't be about location anymore,
mm-hmm.
"nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." And then let's skip down to verse 23, "but the hour is coming and now is." So he's saying this is the season when everything's going to change and it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
"When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." So he's saying that there's coming a time when this old form of worship under the law will not be an adequate form of worship. It will not be the truest form of worship. And he's talking about true worshipers. Now, when we think about worshipers in the Old Testament, man, there were some worshipers. We've got David,
sure.
and man, all of Psalms, he is worshiping the Lord. And he does have a form of spiritual worship. And God had even said, he's a man after my own heart. But he doesn't have the truest form of worship that we now have today. So Jesus said, the hour is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And really what he's saying is there's coming a time when we won't worship based on these earthly things, but we'll worship according to the Spirit of God that's on the inside of
mm-hmm.
us. Now I think about it, and you know, it would be silly for me today. Well, first of all, I'll say this. There are a lot of worshipers now that know God, have received Jesus, but are still in a way worshiping under the law
mm-hmm.
or worshiping according to this old way of thinking about worship. Now that doesn't mean that they... you know, have a tabernacle set up in their backyard or something.
Right.
No, it would be silly for me to have you go build me a tabernacle in the backyard.
Yeah.
What tabernacle means is portable tent.
Yeah, we really don't have room for that.
No,
anyway,
we don't.
So.
Yeah. And so we wouldn't have, it'd be silly for me to have you come set up that,
yes,
that portable tent. And you know, everybody in the neighborhood would think I was crazy.
Right.
You know, they'd say, "Oh, I saw that Sarah Pearson's the other day again. She was performing animal sacrifices, you know, out in the,
yeah, don't do that.
out the yard." That would just be strange.
Our neighbors are like, "Where'd our dog go?"
Exactly.
Yeah.
It would just be strange. And so, you know, me offering animal sacrifices now is not... Now, why is that foreign to us? Why is that even the thought of that foreign?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason it's foreign is because Jesus came to make a new and living way for us to approach
yeah.
the Father. He said the true worshipers will worship in spirit. Now, what do I mean by in spirit? Well, I truly believe that as we approach God, we are not supposed to approach Him based on our feelings or our soulish way of thinking
mm-hmm.
or based on earthly things or fleshy things.
Sure.
We are to approach Him based on the fact that we have right standing with the Father. We can boldly come before His throne of grace because of our revelation knowledge of the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
So we can enter in boldly, and we now have this recreated spirit. Unlike those worshipers under the law and under the Old Testament, we have the born again Spirit of God alive and living on the inside of us. Amen. We no longer have to set up a tent and go to a certain mountain to worship, but we now
the tent's been set up in you.
Exactly. Yeah. We can go to any place at any time the Lord directs us. We can go and be anywhere and approach the Father boldly, come before His throne of grace.
Yeah.
And so we now are the tabernacle of the living God.
Yeah.
We house the Spirit of the living God. No more use for us to only approach the Lord based on feelings or how we've always thought about worship or, you know, how you feel when you come before Him. Sometimes people, you don't, may not, your feelings may not be lining up with the truth in the Word of God.
Sure.
To feel unworthy doesn't mean you are unworthy.
Yeah.
And so we must approach God based in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
So I want to look at this right here. He says in spirit. So I believe that's coming to Him with that realization and revelation on the inside of us that we are born of God and we have right standing with Him. And also in truth, what Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus is the truth.
So when we worship, I mean, that's what we're doing. We are coming to the Father. That's if it's about anything else, then it's the wrong thing.
Exactly.
So that what Jesus said, no man comes to the Father. That's what our worship time is about. And I just want to make clear. I mean, we're literally talking about when they strike up the band and the songs start playing and you're in a church service or in a conference or something, man, where we often find ourselves. I want to know how to do that right.
Yes,
and that's what
exactly.
You're talking about.
Yeah, and so Jesus says, in truth. Or when I see that, and Jesus said He is the truth. I'm the way and the truth and the life. If He says I'm the truth, that means I approach the Father in truth or in Jesus. Inside Him, when God looks at me, He sees me through Jesus.
Amen.
When God looks at me, He sees a perfect creation, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So worshiping in spirit, or according to my perfect right standing with Him, and in truth, inside of Jesus, with that revelation of what Jesus has done for me. And so when I think about this, you know, even when I see the word truth, you know, truth, when we also think about the truth of the Word of God, we base it on the revelation that we have seen, the truth that we have seen in the Word of God. So if we're truly going to approach the Father, you know, when we're singing unto the Lord, when we're worshiping Him in a congregation, or just like one-on-one daily fellowship with Him, if we're going to approach Him according to what would please Him, what kind of worship would please Him, we must approach Him in truth. In faith, based on the Word of God, and based on the revelation that we have of the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I begin to see these things, and the Lord began to show me how crucial it was when we worship and when we sing unto the Lord, how we should be singing songs of faith. We should be singing songs that are full of the Word of God. We should be singing songs that are full of the revelation of Jesus.
Yeah.
And several years ago, the Lord was teaching me a lot about this. And my brothers actually invited me to go to this night of worship with them at another church that we didn't actually go to, but a guest worship team was coming in from out of town. And they invited me to go to this service with them. And so we went, and we were excited because we just really loved this worship team. And we went in, and we're sitting back in the service. There's thousands of people there, and we're toward the back. And the band strikes up, and the singer starts to sing. And they begin playing all the popular songs or all the songs that, you know, a lot of the church was doing at the time and just, you know, you'd think were the right songs. And they started playing and, you know, something was just not quite right. And I just checked in my heart, what is this, Lord? What's going on here? And, you know, the presence of the Lord was so void in the room. Now, God was there.
Sure.
He is everywhere. Isaiah says He inhabits eternity. He is everywhere. But for some reason, He wasn't real and tangible in manifestation in that place. And it just felt dry. Have you ever been in a service where it just feels dry? Now, it's not all about feelings, but you can sense when the presence of the Lord is in a place. I know when I was a little girl, my mom always got me the Gospel Bill shows.
Yeah.
And for pretty much all I would watch on TV was, I just love Gospelville.
Yeah, both, baby.
Yeah, we're from that generation. And if any of you guys are from our generation, you know, Gospelville was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would sit in my room in my plastic playhouse. I had this little playhouse, and part of it was just like a little plastic structure, and then other parts you could like build onto it, you know. But I would sit in my little plastic playhouse, and I would watch my little TV across the room, and Willie George and Ken Blunt and Brother Copeland was on there, part of that. Uh-huh. Actually, excuse me, not Willie George, Gospel Bill, and not Ken Blunt, Nicodemus, man. Right. Oh, how I love Nicodemus. Anyway, so they would preach, and they would minister, and they'd sing on these shows, and they just, man, teach the Word of God. Yeah. It was so alive. Yeah. I remember being a 3- and 4-year-old. I mean, I remember it clearly, especially when I was 4, and seeing this and being overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
I remember that anointing being in my room, and I get choked up when I think about it, but it is the same anointing that I know now. You know, I was so intimately acquainted with Jesus back then, just like I am now. You know, of course, revelation knowledge has come as I've grown, you know, gotten older, but man, now it's the same Spirit of the Lord, and I know Him. Mm-hmm. You know, that this woman at the well, she didn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
But we know Him now. We have Him living. We have the Spirit of God representing Him living on the inside of us. And so I know that same Spirit. So I was in this service, let's fast forward to more present time. I was in this service, and during this service, the Spirit of the Lord, it just seemed like He wasn't tangible, and I was missing Him. You know, mm-hmm. He was there, but I was missing it. And so after many songs, it just was void. It was just lacking, dry. And then all of a sudden, the worship leader began to sing a new song, another song. Mm-hmm. And it's this older song. It's a beautiful song by a worship leader that I really like. And he began to sing this song, and it's called Hosanna. And the verses say, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Mm-hmm. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me." Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the anointing began to rise in the room, and the power of God just began to be manifest. I could sense God. It was like if you could open your eyes, you just want to see angels everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was so real and tangible, the Spirit of God. And it's important to me to understand those things about the anointing, because the anointing is what does the work. The anointing is what changes lives.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in this room, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, thank you. The anointing is flowing through this place. Strength was rising up. And you could just sense the goodness of God. You know, the glory of the Lord was filling up this sanctuary. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And He said to me, "Sarah, without faith, it is impossible to please me in song."
Yeah.
And He took me back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we'll look at it and I'll read it again. But it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek." And I said, Lord, that's it. We must come before You in our songs, and then just in our daily fellowship with You. We must come with a heart full of faith based on the Word of God. These words were proclaiming what they were seeing by faith. Let the weak say, I am strong. Mm-hmm. Let the poor say, I'm rich. And the Lord showed me, man, without faith, it's impossible to please Him in worship. It is impossible to please Him and fellowship with Him in a right way. You know, God isn't requiring of us to go back to worshiping under the law and working all the time to, you know, move in and offer animal sacrifices and do all this stuff anymore. He's only requiring one thing. He is requiring believing. He is desiring us to believe and to love Him and worship Him. And then the other thing the Lord showed me, then the chorus went on. The worship leader began to sing the chorus, and it says, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb who was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again." Mm-hmm. And then the Lord showed me, Sarah, the other part of this, besides approaching me in faith and based on the Word of God, true worship will approach me based on the revelation of the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
And see, this chorus and this song, it was talking about, you know why this is available to me? Do you know why all these good things are available to me? Because it's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna to the Lamb. Hosanna to Jesus.
Yeah.
He has died and rose again for me. So I believe that when we approach God as a true worshiper before Him, we must approach Him in spirit and in truth. And the way we do that is coming boldly before His throne of grace in faith, based on the Word of God, and just magnifying and being thankful for the finished work of Jesus.
And that's what happened in me, sweetheart, when you and I met and I was hearing your songs. The week we met, like 3 days later, you know, you're playing your songs for me and I'm listening and I'm just thinking, this is it. I love this girl. I love these songs. This is amazing. But the thing that was happening in me was that I was hearing faith in songs. Mm-hmm. And it seems so easy to slide into something else that's not that, because music, for some reason, it is so connected to our soul, and it's easy to write more about how you feel or something like that. But the most tangible, real experience in worship, what I've found, what I've learned through worshiping when you're leading, is that, man, when there's faith in it, and what is faith? Faith is rest in what Jesus has done.
Absolutely.
And who Jesus is. And there was a lot of songs that I was singing that once we met, it wasn't like, well, Jeremy, you shouldn't be singing that song. It wasn't that at all. The light had just come on, and I was seeing things for what they were. And as opposed to singing like, you know, I'm so this and I'm so that, and if I just had this and I just had that, man, I stopped saying those things and stopped singing that and just began to worship the Lord in spirit, who I am on the inside, and in the truth of what Jesus has done and who He is.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's awesome.
Father, we thank You and we praise You,
thank you, Lord,
the opportunity to come before You and worship You, Lord. We just worship You right now for all good things that You are and that You've done and that You've been towards us. Thank You for Jesus and the finished work of the cross and the finished work of resurrection.
You,
we give You glory and we worship You, Father, for it. And we set a guard over our mouths and never let us say or sing a single word that doesn't give glory to You for what You've done.
Amen.
Through Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You lifted me to sit with royalty, called me out and up to behold Your beauty. You have made me to stand righteously, without a fault, without a wall, before Your throne. So I stand in awe at You, of the way You brought me through. In awe of You. So I stand in awe of You, how You made my dreams come.
I'm singing to the one who in heaven.
eternity to the one who holds the keys, unlocking destinies to the one who goes ahead and prepares a place for me. He's my God, the
I am so blessed by that song and the songs that are on Sarah's CD. They're so wonderful. I am so blessed by them. I know you will be too. Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is offering day. The Lord has instructed my grandfather, Brother Copeland, to do that every Friday and be faithful to do it, and he has been. And I want to read something to you. This is something he often reads on offering day, and I'm going to tie it in here with what Sarah's been talking to us about. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Verse 8 says, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Sarah's been talking to us about what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And when you come before the Lord with an offering of whatever it is, if it's finances or if it's your time, your effort, your energy, whatever it is you come before the Lord with, that is worship. Now, we're talking in the context of what Sarah's ministering to us. We're talking about our worship, what we sing, how we sing, the way we worship the Lord. But don't isolate these things from each other. When you give an offering, man, that is intended to be worship to the Lord. And now what he says here is when you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What are we talking about? Worshiping in spirit. When you get a hold of songs like these and other anointed songs of faith with the Word of God in them that worship God for who He is and what He's done through Jesus, what are you doing? You are sowing to your spirit, and from your spirit, you are reaping the benefits of what those words of faith will do. You can do the same thing in your offering. You do the same thing when you bring your finances before the Lord. I am sowing to the Spirit. I am sowing to what God has preordained and planned for me, and I reap from it everlasting life. Thank you so much for your love and for your support of this ministry. We appreciate it, and I know the Lord does too. We want you to get into church this weekend. There are churches all over the U.S. and around the world that are preaching the word of faith. Get in there and grow. Ask the Lord where you need to be, and He will direct you. Of course, we invite you to be a part of Eagle Mountain International Church here on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and you can always watch and listen to our services live or download previous services from EMIC. It's all there for you. Will you join me next week as we continue our study in Hello, My Name is God? Thank you so much for being a part of these broadcasts. We want to remind you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.